We do especially welcome friends of Nigel's who are here and trust that you will benefit from being here. If you need to go to the loo, then if you go back to the door where we came in, turn left and then left again, you'll find the toilets there. Anything else, please ask somebody from the church next to you. Well, we're looking forward this afternoon to praising God with our songs and our prayers and learning about God as we listen to the Bible being explained to us. We're here to give thanks to our Heavenly Father for his goodness to us, and particularly to remember Nigel Archer, whose life we give thanks for, and about whose life we're going to hear in a little while. At the end of the meeting, we'll finish with tea and coffee and cake in the room on the other side of the hall. So that's how we finish. My name's Adrian. I was one of the leaders of the church Bible study group here that Nigel attended for around 25 years. So I've known him a fair while, like many. When Nigel was happy about something he had heard, he would respond, "I do so agree with you." And I believe that he would have agreed with us being here to praise God together. Well, we meet here regularly each Sunday at 10:30. And you're very welcome, any visitors, to come and join with us each Sunday. This morning was a wonderful meeting where we had the baptism of two adults. Two grown people got seriously wet, and they were showing very openly how their lives have been changed by Jesus. Nigel had many ongoing struggles and disappointments in his life, but he also was baptized here because he knew that his life was changed by Jesus. He didn't give up coming to hear about Jesus and how great he is. So we'll stand in a minute and sing our first song. Our first song tells us about the hope that comes from the change that God brings in the lives of people who trust in the Lord Jesus for their rescue. The song finishes talking about our final hope of being with God in heaven after we die. Let's stand and sing "There Is a Hope." Well, we're now going to hear some tributes to the life of Nigel, firstly from Simon Howard of the church and then from Robin Jones of Signposts with some friends.
Well, good afternoon. It's good to be here and good to see you all. As a church, it's been a real privilege to have known Nigel for nearly 25 years now. And I guess that we all have memories of him. Some may go back over a long time, some may be a much shorter time, but we all come with our memories. But I think a good place to start is if you look down at your order of service and look at the photograph on the front and just have a good, careful look at that photograph. That was taken about 10 years ago, and that was taken after a meeting that we had here. Adrian referred earlier on to meetings we used to have, special meetings, and that was the end of one of those meetings. And if you look carefully at that photograph, you'll see that he's happy. Look in his eyes, there's a sparkle in his eyes. There's vitality there. And you can see that he was very sociable. He was a very sociable sort of character. You can always have a good conversation with him. And that is a good memory for all of us to hold of Nigel. However, he was not always like that. He first came to us probably somewhere in the mid-90s. And when he joined us, started coming to this church, he was a very depressed character. He had a very negative view of life. He had a very dark outlook. He was a sad character. And if we had a conversation with him, there was nothing that he could see that was positive. And the conversations with him were very wearing. A bit like doing boxing with Muhammad Ali. You just felt worn out after a few minutes. And such was that, if we had a visitor to this church and we saw Nigel engaging with that visitor, this new person who didn't know anybody, after about 5 minutes, we would go and rescue them from Nigel. That was how he was. And but gradually, and this is important, gradually that changed over the years. And Nigel actually began to understand the gospel. He began to understand the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. And began to understand how Jesus had died for him and rose again. And through all that, his understanding of the gospel grew. So, yes, he understood about sin, but he also understood about righteousness. He understood about judgment, which was natural to his character, but he also began to understand about forgiveness and God's grace. He had a good grasp of hell, but he also began to understand about matters of heaven. And over that period, we began to see more and more signs, and there came that point where there was real signs of repentance and faith on the part of Nigel. So in 2004, he was baptised, just at the back there where the baptismal pool is, and he became a full member of this church. And that was a very happy occasion, and some of us can still remember back to those distant days. Now, he hadn't, so we're all clear, he hadn't become like Mother Teresa. Nigel was still Nigel, but he had changed, and that is the important thing, he had changed. And his negative and his dark outlook had given way to an understanding of the gospel and a real hope of heaven. That was the change in Nigel's life. And he showed a remarkable faith and commitment ever since, and even before that. His attendance was absolutely, well, it put most of us to shame. I mean, over the 20-plus years that he's been coming here, I don't think he's ever missed one opportunity to come to church. Obviously, we had to bring him to church, but when we were able to, he would always take that up. And he was already, when we used to go and pick up lifts, he was already standing there waiting for us, always punctual, always ready, always on time, and he came to as much as he could. He was also a very good listener, actually, and he was taking in everything. And if later on you asked him questions about the Bible, he had a good understanding, a good grasp of biblical truth about these matters that we were thinking about. And he certainly enjoyed singing, and that will be quite evident, and some of you have seen that for yourself, especially cheerful and upbeat songs. I'll come back to that later on. Because over time, Nigel began to share something of his story with us. Much of it was actually quite sad. He was born in London. That wasn't sad. Well, maybe it was. But his parents later on moved down to Lancing, then Shoreham. And at the age of 11, he was sent to a special school near Bristol. And Nigel told me that that was probably the last time he had any real contact with his parents. So after that, he had virtually no knowledge of what happened to them at the age of 11. He had, as far as we know, he had no brothers or sisters, and he had no awareness of any aunts or uncles or cousins. So effectively, he had no family. So after he was in Bristol, he came back to this area, and he went to a home in Rustington, and eventually ended up at the West Hill Hostel in Burgess Hill, which is where our paths first crossed with Nigel. And many of us here have a very warm memories of those West Hill days. And then quite a big change for Nigel happened around 1990, where he was given his own flat and where he lived ever since. And that was really ideal for Nigel. Nigel did need his own space, and he was well suited to having his own flat. But also over time, of course, Nigel got to know us as a church. And in effect, we became his family. So he gained lots of brothers and sisters, and also aunts and uncles and cousins. And he really did express his real appreciation of his new family. And again, many can give witness to that. One particular couple here took him under their wing, and they regularly treated him to Sunday lunch, a hair wash, beard wash and trim, and a walk out in the country. And he absolutely delighted in receiving that type of attention. He just loved it. He adored it. And there's lots more, lots more. We could probably spend most of the afternoon talking about various stories and accounts we've had, encounters we have with Nigel, conversations with Nigel. So I'd just like to mention a few things, just to perhaps give a rounded feel for Nigel. He loved rock and roll music, and that's why anything that was upbeat and cheerful, he would enjoy, particularly in church. And our last song would have been absolutely Nigel's choice. So look out for the last song this afternoon. He also followed current affairs. He did listen a lot to the radio, as you probably know, and he did follow what was going on in the outside world. But of course, sadly, a lot of what he heard used to trouble him. Used to trouble him a lot. He had a sensitivity to this. So he regularly had to remind him that God ultimately reigned over all things, that he had to keep trusting God. He also took an interest in nature, hence his enjoyment of country walks. And one of the little conversations that Nigel and I had probably something between 100 and 500 times was that on various car journeys, he would tell me that ivy killed trees. You've got that? Ivy kills trees. And of course, one of the members here is called Ivy. So I used to say, I used to say, no, I was a lovely person, I would not kill trees. And then he would groan at me, and then we would repeat that again and again and again over different journeys. So I don't know who's the worst between us. And on another occasion, obviously in church life sometimes it can be quite noisy and busy, and on one occasion, I come in the exact setting, where it was much quieter, he was much more relaxed, and I felt that, you know, he was in a good place and we could have a good, sort of serious sort of conversation. So I said to him, and this is a few years ago, I said, what do you think is the best thing that's happened to him? Okay, that was my question. What was the best thing that you think has happened to you over the years? And I was obviously thinking about having his own flat, which is not a small thing, or belonging to this church, or having friends at Signposts. And do you know what his reply was? His free bus pass. So, as we know, Nigel loved getting out and about. He had a very good command of geography. Asking questions about places and distances, he was brilliant. In some of those early days, we'd ask him about distances to parts of the Middle East, where we're looking at issues in Palestine, and he would know the distances, probably to the nearest mile. Amazing, had amazing grasp of this. So there's really a lot that we can be thankful for. I think we can be thankful for Nigel's strength of character, because he certainly coped with some hard circumstances. As a church, we are thankful for having been part of Nigel's life. We can be thankful for all that the state has done for him. We mustn't forget that he has benefited a lot. He had all that support from West Hill. He had his own flat. So we are grateful for that support that the state has provided. We are thankful for the different charities and organisations like Signposts that have provided support for Nigel. But most of all, we are thankful to God for watching over Nigel all his days and for saving him through the work of the Lord Jesus. Thank you. Over to Robin.
Good afternoon, everybody. Firstly, thank you, Simon, for this opportunity to join you here this afternoon. Nigel was special. I personally will miss this very brave man who I very much respected. Many of you knew him for a long time. In my case, I've known him just 3 years when I started volunteering with Signposts. And it's very good to see friends from Signposts here this afternoon. And it's very nice for me also to meet these wonderful people from the church. It's a lovely, caring community and so very musical. I'm looking forward to some more hymns. As we know, Nigel very much enjoyed being in company. We know this at Signposts because he'd be the first to arrive in the morning. He'd open the doors. Within minutes, Nigel would arrive. He'd go straight to his seat. He'd sit down and he'd stay there, amazingly stay there all day until we threw him out at closing time. He felt welcome, just as he did in this church. He felt he was in a safe space with friends where he wouldn't be judged. But all of us were aware of the big challenges he faced in his life, including these issues of mental health. We made big efforts to get him more help, particularly in recent years as he was becoming much older. Big efforts with social services, mental health services. It was very difficult. He didn't neatly fit into anybody's category. So it was always being lobbed, oh, that's not for us, you know, try there. It went round in circles. But we tried and we kept pushing at it and we were able to get some help. Another difficulty, of course, was Nigel was a very private man. He liked his independence and his privacy, and he hated fuss. And if you'd ask Nigel, can we help you? Is there anything we can help with? His standard catchphrase was, I'm all right, thank you, I'm all right, thank you. So that was always a challenge. But sometimes we were able to break through this wall of privacy. On a few occasions, we got him to sit by the computer and we Googled some of the places he lived and we found some streets and photographs of old shops and things that he remembered. We also a few times got him playing pool and discovered he was actually not bad. We also got him to join in our Friday rhyme time sessions, and Liz and Sue, you remember this. Sometimes he'd join in the sound effects. His favourite was a Spike Milligan poem called On the Ning Nang Nong. Those of you who know it, this is a strange place where everything makes the wrong noises, including the cows. On this island, the cows didn't go moo, they went bong. And that was Nigel's role. When we'd come to that line where the cows go, Nigel would do a loud bong, and he loved it. He'd also was very loud singing Happy Birthday, joining in the Christmas carols. And at those moments, you would see the other side of Nigel, this extrovert little flicker would come across, buried deep down. He was a bit of an extrovert somewhere deep down. And you'd see these moments when he was a happy man. You could touch that. So we will miss him. I think the thing I will miss most of all at Signpost is the lunchtime ritual. And what happens is before lunch, we go round each member of Signpost. We ask them, what would you like for lunch? And they tell us the sandwich or the roll or the soup or whatever. We collect the money and it goes into a little pot. And then we'd come to Nigel and we'd say, okay, Nigel, what do you feel like? And the answer would always be the same. It would be, I'm all right at the moment, thanks. So not much approach. Sometimes we would try a different approach. And we'd say, Nigel, it's only £2. The stock answer would be, £2? Gosh, that's a lot of money. He did it much better than me, but that's the sort of... And to give him credit, he never once gave in, despite all this pressure, week after week, to try and get a couple of pounds for his sandwich. It never came. And yet, miraculously, every week when the big bag would come from the cafe, and we'd start dishing it out to everybody, every week, miraculously, there would be Nigel's lunch. A sandwich, a soup, a roll, sometimes a bunch of bananas. It was almost like the feeding of the 5,000, but on a smaller scale. And it used to happen every week. The feeding of the 5,000 only happened once, I think, but this was wonderful. We'll also miss his emphatic weather reports. You remember this, Sue. On a cold, rainy, snowy day, he'd say,
it's not an outdoor day, it's mostly an indoor day.
And vice versa. And this has actually sparked off, or helped spark off, a new initiative at Signpost. We have a member, Daniel, who's very into weather forecasts. And he now does a daily weather forecast. This Daniel does a daily weather forecast. He stands up and tells us today's weather, tomorrow's weather, and next week's weather. And we'll be able now to remember Nigel in a new way. When we get a particularly bad day, it's going to be rain, gales, and a bit of sleet, we can all join in and say, it's more of an indoor day. And we'll do that to remember Nigel. Yeah, a great guy. So let's remember the good things about Nigel's life, the opportunities which he gave us, and give him thanks for having been part of our community, and may he rest in peace. And I'll close, well, first, Emma, you've got a few words you'd like to say.
Yeah.
Emma is another, well, she's a very kind and caring, she's an exemplar of kind, caring people at Signpost.
I knew Nigel for many years at West Hill Hospital from around 2000. I used to go there for respite and we used to chat and have dinner I think he was an amazing man. Outside of us, I used to worry about Marjorie and used to buy him biscuits. He would say, thank you very, 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 very much.
That's nice.
I used to look out for him and look after him. I am grateful that I had such a good friend. Rest in peace, my good friend Nigel.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Great, wasn't it? Okay, we're going to stand and sing in a minute. It's a song that we used to sing regularly at the Causeway group, the Bible group that used to meet. And Nigel used to love to sing this song. It tells us about how special Jesus is and some of the names that are used in the Bible to describe Jesus, showing us how he is the only person who can rescue us and change us. On the first line, it's, there is a Redeemer. A Redeemer, we explain, is somebody who pays the price, pays the cost, does what's necessary to make us right with God, because naturally we're not right with God, and that's a big problem for all of us. So let's stand and sing, there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. If you turn to your order of service, we're going to read from the Bible. It's been printed out for us. We're reading from a book of James, which is in the New Testament, and this part of the Bible is a letter written by the brother of Jesus, so it's really special. All the Bible is special, but written to people who trusted in God and tells us about how we should live and view things. So James chapter 1 and the first 12 verses. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well, let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have revealed yourself to us. Thank you that you spoke then and you speak now. Thank you that we can rejoice in all that you've made, the world. You've made the food that we eat, the water that we drink. You've made us. You've made the love between us and the community that we live in. We thank you so much, Father, for friendship and family and all the good things that you've made. We thank you for the service this afternoon and for the opportunity to see how great you are and how your love for us is perfect. Your love doesn't depend on what we are or what we've done or how much money we have or how clever we are. Your love is complete and secure because your Son Jesus came to this earth as a man, died to carry our punishment for our failing to live the way God says, and then came back to life and went up to heaven. You have promised that if we trust in Jesus, then we are rescued and we become part of your family. We are freed from guilt and we are able to go to heaven. We thank you that Nigel did believe in you and that you kept him wanting to come to church to hear about Jesus. Thank you also for answering Nigel's need for acceptance, above all in the Lord Jesus, but also in his care at West Hill and for friends at church and in the community. Thank you that he was given a flat and for providing ways for him to get around to enjoy this area in Sussex. We thank you for speaking to us and pray that we will all want to find out more about Jesus, love him and respond in our hearts by trusting him for our rescue, so that we will be certain about our final resting place and live lives that honour him forever. Amen. Well, our next song speaks, is another Causeway favourite, speaks about how right and good it is for us to be thankful to God for sending Jesus to the earth. Jesus was born as a baby and grew up just like us. But it is only he who makes it possible for us to be rescued and go to heaven when this life ends on earth. And this song takes us through the life of Jesus. Let's stand and sing, "Thank You, Jesus, Thank You, Jesus."
We're going to spend just a few minutes thinking about the words that were read for us from our sheets, but from the Bible, from the letter from James, the brother of Jesus. Some people might think that we deserve a trouble-free life. Some people might think that Christians particularly deserve a trouble-free life. They merit a trouble-free life. They should have a pretty easy life. And that maybe God's being a bit unfair if that's not the case. And this letter puts an end to thinking like that, because it talks to us about how difficult life can actually be. That's the first thing that we see, is that life can be hard. Life can be hard. We see that the way the person begins. He says, consider, think about it as being pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, meaning lots and lots of different ways in which life is difficult. All kinds of trials and testing, things outside of our lives coming in that can hurt us and harm us, and things inside of our lives, inside of our thoughts, or inside of our families. Persecution and poverty, that's what's happening to a lot of the Christians who James was writing to. But it could be other things, sickness and loneliness and bereavement, disappointment. Lots of trials, lots of troubles, as part of living in a world that's troubled and broken. And just because you're following Jesus doesn't mean to say those things are all over for you. You don't get them anymore. Actually, you do get them. But the difference is how you cope with them and how you think about them. As we've already mentioned, really, life was difficult for Nigel in many different ways. He wasn't rich, a bit like the people that James was writing to. He didn't have lots of qualifications, didn't go to university, didn't have strong family links and relationships, and many issues in his life were never really resolved, didn't always get the help that perhaps he needed. The people here at church loved him, the people in Signpost and other groups that he was involved with loved him and looked after him, but life was still hard, was perplexing, was at times confusing for him. And the Bible's a real book that talks about real life. And actually, for all of us, life is difficult and it's troubling. But the difference is what James also talks about, which is if you believe in Jesus, if you're following Jesus, then life doesn't get any easier, but you can cope with it. You can be joyful because of all that you know. So let's just think about that for a few minutes. Life can be hard, but we can be joyful because, and here's some reasons that we get. We can be joyful. It's a remarkable thing, you see, because the way this letter begins, it says to these 12 tribes, that means some Jewish people who were Christians and they were getting persecuted, sometimes by other Jewish people, sometimes a bit later by the Romans. They were losing their jobs. Some of them would go into prison. So it was a really hard life. And he says, James, brother of Jesus, says, consider it pure joy. Be happy about it. Think about it and then be happy. We think about being happy when first baby arrives or when our team score a goal and they're going to win. Like my team's going to win. But what James talks about is a deep joy when that's not actually happening. You haven't scored the goal. You're at the bottom. You're about to be relegated. You just lost your job. When life is tough, when there are many troubles, he says, consider it. Think about being really joyful. Well, let's think of some reasons that he gives. The first one's this: God is helping me to grow up as a Christian. God is helping me to grow up as a Christian. You see that in verse 3. I know you haven't got the verse numbers on the order of service, but in the Bible, if you have one, it says that. So it says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. In other words, when difficult things happen to you, you grow up as a Christian. Now, it's really important to say this is not the equivalent of what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Lots of people could say that, couldn't they? What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Of course, everybody in the whole world learns stuff through going through difficult times. We all grow up in some way and become a bit more mature and a bit more experienced in life. But that's not what James is saying. James is saying something else. He's saying that what you will learn is how to grow up as a Christian, someone who doesn't get stronger in themselves every time they have a difficult time, but actually one who learns to trust God more every time they have a difficult time. That's the remarkable thing, that we grow up not getting stronger and tougher and more resilient. We actually get more humble and we feel a lot weaker, but we learn to trust God more and more. And we saw Nigel become a Christian and grow up as a Christian, sometimes through the difficult things that he went through. Says that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Like all of us who are Christians, Nigel was not the finished article. He wasn't completely mature. and complete. He still had some growing to do. He still had some learning to do. But so do I. And so do you. But he learned to trust God as his only hope, especially when things in his life didn't seem to offer very much. And perhaps more than some of us, Nigel realised that. He was able to figure out that actually life is quite pointless and trivial and meaningless unless you have some, unless you're part of a bigger story. And he learned to trust God, and he grew up and became more mature as a Christian. And those of you who've known him the whole time of him being involved in this church would have seen that, even through the difficult times. So we can be joyful, even when life is hard, because God is helping me to grow up as a Christian. Secondly, because I have a generous father. James talks about praying. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously and without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James talks about praying when we don't know what to do, praying to God when we need help in a particular situation. And we pray to God, and he helps us in lots of ways. And life becomes more than bearable, but life is joyful because when we pray, God hears us and God answers, and it makes us very happy. It makes us happy because we realize God is very generous to us. He gives me always much more than I deserve. That's what the Bible tells us. God gives generously without finding fault. There's never a day when I have prayed and I deserved what I got. Never a day. Never a day when I earned God's love. Every day I ask for God's help and he gives me help, not because I've earned it, but because he's a generous, loving father. He helps me know what to do. He helps me know what to learn. He helps me know what to say. He helps me know how to react. I have a generous father, and so I can be joyful, even though life is hard. I can also rejoice because although I'm frail, I'm deeply loved. A little bit further down in what's called verse 9, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position because he will pass away like a wild flower. All of us are somewhere on the road to our lives coming to an end. We're all like plants that grow up and look pretty spectacular for a little while, but soon wither and die in the heat. Rich people sometimes forget that, perhaps, because they're enjoying their wealth, but it will happen to them, James tells us. But whether rich or poor, we can know that we are deeply loved by God. And that's why James particularly talks about poor people, and he says, the brother in humble circumstances, because that's what most of the people he was writing to were, the brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. You'd expect him to say pride in his low position, but he says pride in his high position. What does he mean? He means whether you're rich or poor, but particularly if you're poor, and if you're reading this letter, you are so loved by God that you have a very high position. You've got dignity and status and wealth beyond your wildest imaginations. You are so loved by God, deeply loved by God. That's the wonderful thing about the love of God, that it's indiscriminate in this sense, that it's not about being rich or intelligent or successful or loved by lots of other human beings. It's not about having full capacity. It's not about being young and energetic. It's not about being old and dignified. It's about none of those things. God's love is for anyone who in humility turns to him, comes to him, and says, I want to be forgiven, and I want to follow you. And for all those who've done that, we continue to be frail and weak and humble, but deeply loved and dignified. What else? Lastly, I'm on my way to heaven to live forever with God. James says in verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because he has, when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. The final, really the fundamental reason, that the kind of basic reason why Nigel and why people who are following Christ can live with hope and expectation and joy is because of this future reward of being in the presence of God the Father and the Son and the Spirit forever. This was Nigel's great hope. He wanted to be with God in heaven. He looked forward to that. He talked about that. He realized above anything else that that would be better than this life. James talks about receiving the crown of life. People he wrote to, like us, would have known the idea of medals and rewards for winning a race or winning some athletic thing. But he's not talking about something that you win. He's not talking about something that you earn. He's talking about something that's given to you. Life, eternal life, the crown of life. And he says you can keep going, even though life is difficult at times, because you will receive the crown of life, meaning you will be welcomed into the new heavens and the new earth to live with God forever. That's a gift that we didn't earn or deserve, but it's a gift that we're offered. Jesus is the Son of God forever. He came to this difficult life. He faced more trials than we will ever face. He went through all the bad things that we experience, but never failed to trust his Father God. In the end, we fail these kind of tests and sometimes stop trusting God, but he never did. But what he offers us is his goodness, his perfect obedience in place of our frailty and weakness and failures. He offers us this crown of life. And as we've heard already this afternoon, there was a point in Nigel's life, or maybe a journey in Nigel's life, when he realized, I want this crown of life. I want to know this. I want it more than anything else. I want to know that I will be with the eternal heavenly family forever. And God, because he's a generous God, offers that to all who put their trust in him. And Nigel did that, and Nigel looked forward to this crown of life, to eternal life. He faced many trials, and perhaps you face many trials. He had many troubles, many challenges, and perhaps you face many of those things. But he knew at the end of it all that he would be in the presence of his God. One of Nigel's expressions, which hadn't been mentioned this afternoon, which he would say when it was kind of the end of the conversation, was, I wish you the very best. Do you remember that one? I wish you the very best. What would he wish for you? I think he'd wish this for you, that you'd know that you look forward to the crown of life. He knew above anything else that heaven was a better place than earth. He knew that being with God was better than being here on earth. He knew that. And as he wished us the very best, he would have wished that all of us here this afternoon gathered would know what it is to anticipate, to look forward, to expect to receive the crown of life, this generous gift. Yes, God's going to help us through life. He's going to help us when we think about all that's ahead. He's a generous God. He loves us deeply. But most of all, we keep going because we have this to look forward to. And Nigel would have wanted each of us this afternoon to have that same hope. And so as we reflect on his passing, as we reflect on his life and his death and his priorities, let's consider whether we ourselves have this same hope. Blessed, happy is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Do you love him? Are you looking forward to receiving the crown of life? Then keep going, trusting him. We're going to sing a song as we close. It's a song that, as we mentioned already, is a real favourite, was a real favourite of Nigel's. And the Causeway Group, there's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there, we can live there beyond time, because of you. It's because of Jesus Christ, it's because of his love, because of his blood, meaning his death. And in that, our sins are washed away and we can live forever. That's the crown of life. And we're going to sing that in his honour, with great enthusiasm and with faith and with hope. Let's stand and sing. But just to say that there's refreshments now that are going to be served just in the corridor there, and we'd love you to stay around. There's tea and there's cake, other stuff. So do please stay around and join us for that. It's been really good to host you here this afternoon, and we trust you've enjoyed your time with us. And if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the crown of life that you promised to all those who love you. Lord, we thank you that Jesus perfectly passed all the tests that he faced. And we thank you that he offers us his goodness. And he offers to be our Saviour, the one who rescues us from our sin, from our failure to be the good people that we ought to be, and that he invites us to be part of his family. We thank you so much for that. We pray that we might understand it, and like Nigel, we might want to follow you for the rest of our lives. As we say goodbye to Nigel this afternoon, we want to thank you again for his life. And we thank you for what he meant to each of us, all our experiences with him. And we thank you that we will see him again if we trust in you. And all those limitations that have held us back and held him back will be removed. And we thank you for that. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your peace. And we commit one another to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.